This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 13/14 من شهر رمضان 1443 الموافق ل 16 وين ذهبت التواريخ كلها لابد أن ننبه لها اليوم 13 من شهر 14 من شهر رمضان 1443 الموافق ل 16 من شهر أبريل 2022 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات وأن يبارك في شهرنا ويعصمنا من الزلل. So today inshallah we will be dealing with a new surah, which is Surah Al-Qalam. And this surah also is Makkiya like the previous one, Surah Al-Mulk. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received it when he was in Makkah. And this one is very clear because the nature of the surah starting from the beginning can suggest this, that this has to be in something in Makkah. Yeah, because in Medina you have a different issue. But in Makkah you have what exactly this surah is dealing with. So this surah is called Surah Al-Qalam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first part of the surah says Noon wal Qalam wa ma yasturun. Okay. Qalam is mentioned. Usually the Asma al-Suwar is taken from something in the surah itself. So the first part of the surah is Noon. Allah says Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. This Noon, the scholars have talked about these letters at the beginning of the surah. We call them huruf al maqatta'a. Alif lam mim, alif lam mim ra, alif lam ra, hamim, sad, qaf, noon, yasin, taha. كاف هاي عين صاد طاسين طاسين ميم. I think I mentioned them all now. So these حروف المقطعة, you have different opinion amongst the scholars. What exactly they mean? What is the meaning of these things? Do they even have meaning? One thing you are sure about is the fact that yes, they do. They do have a meaning. But the question is whether we know the meaning or we don't know the meaning. But having a meaning, yes, they do have a meaning. So some said, this meaning is known to us. In whom Ibn Qutaybah, in his book, Ta'wil Mushkil Al-Qur'an, he fight so much, you know, against those who said there is no meaning, which we know, you know, for these huruf al-maqatta'a. He has his own justification. But the best and the closest opinion, wallahu alam, is the one that says it is part of the ijaz al-Qur'an. The Qur'an is mu'jiz. Lafzan wa ma'anan mu'jiz. Mu'jiz means miraculous in terms of nature, and the text also is a miracle in a way nobody can provide something similar to it. Because the Arabs, who are the experts of the language, the past, not the present ones. I'm talking about the past, you know, the Arab in the past. They were the experts of the language. Very, very strong in the language. They used to be proud of it. If you have this, you know, skills among them, you will be respected like a minister or a king. They are the hukama. They used to go to them to seek advice from them. They are the smart people according to them. You get it? The important and notable people in the community. Why? Because of the Arabic language. They are so strong, so powerful in their language. So you can see when the Prophet ﷺ reached Makkah, they don't like what he is doing. Why? Because he destroyed all the business in Makkah from A to Z. Prophet ﷺ cancelled riba And the other free money that is coming to them when the people come to Mecca, because Mecca was a center for the Arabs to come and do their Hajj. They have a free business that is reaching them, which everyone who comes is coming with money to present to the idols. You know. Prophet ﷺ said all of those 360 idols are batil, you know. That's why they see the Prophet ﷺ as a threat. You know. And people are accepting the Rasulullah ﷺ, and that means the economic system is going to be destroyed, and whatever they base their culture on it, Rasulullah ﷺ is taking it away. Going back to the old culture of Ismail and his people. Yeah, going back to the old culture of Ismail and his people. That's the interpretation to be given to the hadith that says the Prophet ﷺ كان على دين قومه 40 سنة. It doesn't mean he used to worship the idols. No. They are talking about the values and the manners which used to exist starting from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. You know, there's still some of those balance of those ones, you know. You read the story of Zayd ibn Amr, ibn Nufayl, the father of Sayyid ibn Zayd. You will understand this. Amr ibn Absa, you know, and some other companions, some other Arabs who decided to stay away from the cultural practice of the Arabs and go back to the root. They don't know what exactly the root is, but they find some of the balance of that root and they maintain it. And they go against worshipping the idols and all. So what I'm trying to say is, these people, they don't like Rasulullah and they don't like what he's doing. They fought him in Mecca, they killed some of his companions, they persecuted them, they pressured them so much. You know, until the time the Prophet ﷺ had to leave. He sent his companion to Abyssinia and then to Medina, and then he himself also had to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him out of it, and they plot against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried so much to kill him. It doesn't work. Even after he left to Medina, that doesn't any satisfy them, you know. They had to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many battles. Badr, they lost so many people in Badr. They went to Uhud, they lost a lot in Uhud. They went to Ahzab, they lost also. They went to so many battles, they're losing. And Rasulullah ﷺ told them, you guys say I'm lying. And you want me to stop. And they did everything, you know. He tried to provoke his human desire, you know. Because human beings, they have desire on those three things. Al-mal, al-riyasa, al-shahwat. They told him, if you are looking for wealth, we agree, we will collect money from ourselves to make you the richest person in the community. Just stop inviting people to Islam. He says, no, I don't want that. They are talking to the wrong person, actually. So they told him about the riyasa. We will agree to step down and to make you the king. He said, I don't want that. They moved to the woman. They said, we will agree to look for the most beautiful one in this society. You choose, and then we give you. He said, I don't want. They talked to his uncle. The uncle talked to him, and he told him that, no, this is a command from Allah, and I'm not going to stop. And the uncle disappointed them. He told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go and do whatever you believe is correct, and I will never submit you. And he told them, لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا أَنَّ ابْنَنَا لَا مُكَذَّبٌ لَدَيْنَا وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. That's a support to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a clear disappointment to those people who he is still in their deen, right? And he says, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ يَسِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِجَمِعِهِمْ حَتَّى وَسَّدَ فِي التُرَابِ دَفِينَا. He said, the time you see them reaching you, that means I'm dead. فَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ. And this is what happens. You know, the time they managed to reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib was gone. So the point is, they followed him in Medina, they engaged in those battles, they lost so much lives. But what he wanted them to do, since you said, I am creating this book, you come up with. I mean, everyone knows that logically, if the Arabs in those days can produce something like the Quran, they will definitely do it to avoid all of those clashes. Why did they try to reconcile? They tried to do so many things to stop him. And he said, you don't need to go for this. Just prove me wrong that this Quran is not from Allah. And they couldn't. The Arabs of those days couldn't. And the Arabs of today also cannot. That's why you have all of these jokes. So they have so many surahs. You know, the recent one, they have Surah to Corona. Yeah, I think a few years ago also somebody was sharing some. Do you hear about it anymore? It goes like riyah and go like that. SubhanAllah. Nothing will oppose Quran and remain. So those Arabs, they couldn't do it. And they were the experts of the language. And the people of today, they will never succeed, definitely. That's why one of the Christian, he criticized Quran. He was saying, in the Firqan akhta'un nahwiyya. And SubhanAllah, even to read the text, he couldn't. So Muslims are laughing, you know. How can you detect a mistake in a book? Even reading it is not easy for you. And why is the mistake? The mistake is in your reading then. It's not in the thing itself, you know. So anyone who opposes Quran in terms of the text, you know, those are the real jokers, and they end up making fun of themselves. The community will be laughing at them. Because those Arabs, we are told that some of them made sujood when they heard about, they hear the recitation of the Quran, you know. One of those things that I remember when I was reading those books about Ulum al-Quran, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. They mentioned one of the Bedouins made sujood after that. He said, this sentence, you know, full of balagha and fasaha, you know, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in that concise form. The choice of word, he said, this cannot be from the humankind. So we're not here to talk about the ijaz of Quran, but I just want us to understand that Quran naturally is like that. One of these things that exist in the Quran, which makes the Quran miraculous and mu'jiz, you know, naturally, is these huruf al-muqatta. To say that they are Arabic language and the expert in the language, they don't know what they mean. It's something in their language, and they're proud of having the language, and they're proud of being the expert in the language, but still, they don't understand them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it for himself alone. That's why the best opinion, wallahu alam, when it comes to the interpretation of these huruf al-muqatta, is to say, Allahu a'lam bi muradihi bi dhalik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows what exactly he meant by them. It doesn't negate and contradict the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bilisan in Arabi in Mubi, because any message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent it for you in the clearest way. So this word, although we don't know the meaning, but the intent is known, which is ijaz, to make it something that nobody can imitate, no matter how much they try. Otherwise you will end up with al-filu mal-filu wa ma adaraka mal-filu لَهُ ذَنَبٌ طَوِيلٌ وَخُرْطُومٌ قَصِيرٌ. They have the Surah Al-Dhifda. Alhamdulillah, I do not remember that one. That's the Surah attributed to Musaylamah al-Kadhdhab. So his people also, when they see, they know that even Atfal don't do this. Al-Filu Mal-Filu, even Atfal don't do this. Allah kid will ask you, what is the moral of this? And then he will get stuck. No. Look at Surah Al-Fil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, very small in terms of size, but the message is so strong and so powerful. So Allah says, noon. So the first word, we don't know its meaning, we just leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of the ijaz of the book of Allah. And then he says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, noon wal-qalam. There are so many interpretations about this noon. You know, if you read the Ibn Kathir, you know, quoted so many hadith referring to the meaning of the noon. Some of them said is the hoot itself. Because the last part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. And also, linguistically, the hoot is called sometimes also a noon. Okay? So that's why some said, noon here is referring to that one. It's not the ijaz we are talking about. But, wallahu alam, it goes with the same thing. Qaf, because it's just letter, it's just a letter, it's not a word. Okay, that one is a word, a noon. Okay, but this one is a letter. Okay, So it goes with the ijaz of the Book of Allah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal qalam wa ma yasturun. He says, Wal qalam wa ma yasturun. Al qalam, the best opinion amongst the opinions of the scholars, which is the most apparent one, is the one that says, Al qalam is the qalam we use. The one you guys are writing with, but not necessarily yours, but qalam qalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the qalam wa ma yasturun. Like he says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing by the qalam, because when he says wal qalam, just focus. This is Atfal. If he doesn't cry, that means he has a problem. Yeah, that's true. People don't understand this sometimes. Kids, when they don't play, they don't jump, they don't cry, that means there is an issue. So, wal qalam yawma yasturun. So, this is the swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the pen, and the because it's ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted humankind, which is referring to knowledge, yeah, because we document the knowledge in it. And it is so important in the way the Prophet said, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, you know, was a pen. The debate was between the pen and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I think we talked about this last time, right? So, wallahu alam, it might be the closest opinion is the one that says the first thing created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the pen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the pen, وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, and what we are writing with the pen. Okay? قَلَمْ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by both. And this is okay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدْ. He can swear by anything He wants. But for us, we cannot swear by anything except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to swear by their parents, by their idols, by so many things. How about swearing by the Kaaba? Let's go to the big ones. Don't forget, Kaaba al-Musharrafa. How about swearing by the Kaaba? Yeah, it's a question directed to Khalid. Can we swear by the Kaaba? Why not? It says Baytullah. Baytullah, you know? No, I'm just asking about swearing by the Kaaba, not the Rabbul. Rabbul Kaaba, we have no question, right? And Aisha, the Prophet said, I know when you are angry and when you are sad. She said, Ya Rasulullah, how do you know that? He said, whenever you are, when you are angry or you are happy. She said, Ya Rasulullah, whenever you are happy, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whenever you are happy, you say, Wa Rabbu Muhammad. And whenever she is angry, she say, Wa Rabbu Ibrahim. Abdullah ibn Umar with his freed slave, the maid at the house, sometimes when she did something wrong, he will say to her, خلقني خالق الكرام وخلقك خالق اللئام. She used to cry. But is there any difference between the two? No. Yeah. So swearing by رب الكعبة, رب جبريل, رب الناس is correct. It's the same as saying والله, أقسم بالله. Yeah. Although Somalian way, وبالله وتالله ووالله. You know. Yeah, these are all the same. But the Kaaba itself, can we say about the Kaaba?
No.
Why not? Because it's makhluk, right? Okay. This one you have to fail. Mus'haf. Quran, Kalamullah Azza wa Jalla. So, can somebody swear by the Mus'haf?
No.
Why?
Mus'haf is
makhluk. Sure. He takes the Quran and he says, Uqsimu bihada. He says,
the Mus'haf, no.
Okay. Why do you answer? Why you don't leave the chance to Yeah, you cannot swear by the Mus'haf. Because Mus'haf is a combination of ink and the papers, you know, so many things inside. But swearing by the Quran itself, Quran. Is it correct? Yes, because Quran is kalam Allah wal kalam sifa min sifati Allah azza wa jal. So you cannot take the Quran in the court and say uqsimu bihada, because you are pointing, you are showing the book, which is papers and ink. You get the idea? Al-makru, the one that you're reading, that's Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you swear by the Quran, and Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَمَا قَالَ صَاحِبُ الرِّسَالَةِ ابن أبي زيد القيرواني لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ فَيَبِيتْ وَلَا صِفَةً لِمَخْلُوقٍ فَيَنْفَتْ. So it's not makhluq that will perish one day, or attribute of a makhluq that will fade one day. Yeah, look at your pictures. When you are young, if it's still there, you might say to your mother, are you really sure that this is this one? You know, you change completely. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. That's why the matters of Tawheed, you can say with certainty that there is no difference between the Sharia of Muhammad and Sharia of Adam alayhi salam. Because they are all talking about Allah, and Allah doesn't change. It's the same one. As-Sami' al-Basir, al-Mutakallim, al-Jabbar, al-Qahar, from the time of Adam and until Noah. Matters of Sharia, these are the things that you have changed from a Sharia to another Sharia. Allah says, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرَعَةً وَمِنْ هَاجَةً. But in Tawheed, they are all the same. And that's translates the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Because somebody might say that we are told by the Sunnah that أَوَّلُ الرُّسُلْ هُوَ نُوح عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. There was no Rasul before. Could be prophets, but Rasul, no. Nuh was the first one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his people rejected all of the messengers. Somebody might say, how come, you know, they rejected only one, and he was the first one actually. And they did not live until they see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not live until the time of Rasulullah. But Allah says they rejected all of them. The scholar said, because the message is one. Yeah, the message is one. What Nuh told his people is the same as what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. So back to the question, Quran, you can swear by the Quran because it is kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you cannot swear by the mushaf. Okay. So noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the pen and also that which people are writing using the pen. We said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can swear by whatsoever he wants, but we cannot do it except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ala la tahlifu bi لِأَبَائِكُمْ فَمَنْ كَانَ حَلِفًا فَلِيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. He said, don't swear by your parent. He used to say, وَأَبِي. I don't know about وَأُمِّي, but وَأَبِي. وَأَبَاك, you know. The Prophet said, whoever wants to swear by something, he should use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? He should use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he should keep quiet. So Allah is swearing, usually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, He is going to emphasize on something. Okay? Layli idha yaghsha wa nahari idha tajalla wa ma khalaqa al-dhakara wal-untha inna sa'ayakum lashatta. SubhanAllah. Very big meaning. So emphasize on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these things to catch the attention of the listeners. Shams wa duhaha. Any place where you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing, wait and see what will be mentioned, you know. So he says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. SubhanAllah. Those criminals, one of the things that I always tell my kids, that kuffar, by consensus from day one, they all agree to call the messengers majaneen. Everyone comes majnoon. They love this word so much. Majnoon, majnoon, majnoon. In Surah Al-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. In some place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَوَاصَوْ بِهِ, Are they making like wasiyya before he dies? If somebody comes to you and tells you, I'm a prophet, call him Majnun, you know? Are they saying this? Are they making it in this way? Because all of them are saying Majaneen. All of them. But Allah says, Balhum qawmun ta'un. This is the result of arrogance. You don't need somebody to tell you. You're going to end up doing the same thing your predecessors did, even if you don't know about them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are not, walillahi alhamdul minna, a majnun. Majnun means insane. So in that which you are inviting people, you are not lying to them. And you are not doing hadayan. You know, they are the one who are doing the hadayan. Hadayan is like the talk of the person who drank wine. So what you told them is none other than the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجَرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And that which you are doing is very straightforward, and is kalamul uqala, is a word that is coming from the aqil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for that. أَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. You have a big reward. غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ أي غَيْرَ مَقْطُوعَ. The one that will not stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his deed. If you're looking for a prophet, you know, all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كلهم بلغوا الرسالة على أتم الوجوه. No prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without conveying the message in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most, you know, successful one. All of them succeeded. But if you go through the history of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffers so that we can get this message pure and clean, you know, Islam will reach everyone. You will understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. You Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tarbiyah. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَغْفِرُوا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ. In Mecca, they were fought, they were killed, but what was the command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Patience. Do not fight back, you know. He suffers so much, the believers suffer so much, but they are patient. They are looking at the future. They want Islam to succeed. You know. Went to Medina also, they did not let him there. He fought so many battles, some of them he was almost going to be killed in some of this battle. He went to Taif, you know that. Even there was a proposal for the people of Taif to be destroyed completely, but the Prophet ﷺ did not accept that. You know. He said, I don't want to see people accepting Islam. In the way he loves the Ummah, you know, no prophet love his nation. All of them love their people. But if you compare their love to their people, with that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, theirs will be insignificant in comparison to his. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each and every one of them the chance to ask for dua, what did he say here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, all of them ask. Except me, I said, mine, I want to keep it for my ummah as a shafa'ah for them on the day of judgment. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the least you can do to compensate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever his name is being mentioned. That's the least you can do. The best reward you can do to reward the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely. No need, thank you Rasulullah. Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely. Respect him and follow him. Allah says, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا عَلَّقَ الْهِدَايَةَ عَلَى مُتَابَعَةِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There is no way for you to be guided unless if you base your activities on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you can only be guided. And this is not a joke, my dear brothers and sisters. We are in a state of loss, you know. We are in a state of confusion nowadays. Why is that? Because we detach ourselves from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We think we are so smart, we can do it without consulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wallahi will never work. You know this status and the situation the Ummah is in? We remain like that. the press and being the tail of others, you know, until the time we come back to the correct manhaj, which is following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely in everything. How do I do it? Do it like the Salaf al-Saleh. You know, that person says, if you want to succeed in this life, he said, إِذَا اسْتَطَعْتَ أَلَّا تَلْبَسَنَ عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا بِسُنَّةٍ فَفَعَلْ. He said, make sure that you don't do anything except with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including wearing the shoes. You know, that statement of Ibn Asim in his book Murtaqa al-Wusul, he says, وَالْفِعْلُ مِنْهُ إِنْ يَكُنْ فِي الْعَادَةِ فَفِكْتِفَ إِنَهَجِهِ السَّعَادَةِ وَهُوَ لِمُقْتَضَى الْجَوَازِ يَقْتَضِي فَحَسْبُنَا مِنْهُ الرِّضَى بِمَا رَضِي. He says, the actions that come from the Prophet ﷺ, even if it is part of his cultural practice, he said, when you want to succeed in that regard, follow him. Because مجرد فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدل على شيء غير الحلم. To get idea, when the Prophet ﷺ did something, it shows that it is permissible to be done. Whether it's wajib or mustahab, we understand this from the circumstantial evidences. But Ibn Asim, to make it easy for you, he says, if you want to succeed, stay away from all of these explanations. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ did something, just do. Even if it is his own cultural practices, as long as it doesn't harm you, usually it will not. And why do I say this? Because sometimes the Prophet ﷺ might have a system in the way he eats, and this is akmalul al-nidham, akmalul al-anzima. The system of eating which is designed by the Prophet ﷺ is the best of the systems. Read Ibn al-Qayyim's compilations about this, you will understand what I'm talking about. But at the same time, some of the things mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ used to do, not everyone can do. Right? When you go to the restaurant to eat, you have a cup of water next to you. You can stay away from drinking that water until then. But there are some people, for health's sake, they can't. They have to drink after every 2-3 spoons. They must drink. If you tell him, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he might get into trouble. And Rasulullah sallallahu did not make it wajib. That's why Ibn Qayyim, from time to time, in his writings about this topic, he will say, وَالطَّبَائِعُ تَخْتَلِفْ. You have different nature. But the vast majority of that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when it comes to the hadith in terms of eating, everyone can afford that. So he says, إِنْ يَكُنْ فِي الْعَادَةِ فَهُوَ فَفِكْتِفَ إِنَهَجِهِ السَّعَادَةِ وَهُوَ لِمُكْتَضَى الْجَوَازِ يَكْتَضِي فَحَسْبُنَا مِنْهُ الرِّضَى بِمَعْرَضِي. He says, the action that come from the Prophet ﷺ shows nothing other than permissibility. But at the same time, we say, it is enough for us what was enough for Rasulullah ﷺ. If he takes it, we're also going to take that one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. You have a reward which is not going to be cut off. In so many ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَفَعَ ذِكْرَهُ. You know, every Muslim country where you go, where they don't ban the adhan, because in some places they started, right? They don't ban the adhan. When you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, the second one is, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. Whoever comes to Islam is going to mention this. You know, رَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. It was mentioned previously in the previous books, and also in the Quran, and also people are mentioning him up to date, making salah on him. That's the part of the proof of dhikr and the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of these big rewards, which translate reward غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ غَيْرُ مَقْتُوعٌ, is that whatever you do, we come here and study, right? We are studying, inshallah, all of us are doing it for the sake of Allah. Every single reward each and every one of us get, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a portion of that. That's why I see it. You know, I know that they are saying it out of love. Somebody will do something, will say, I gave the reward to Rasulullah. Ya akhi, you need it on the day of judgment. And Rasulullah doesn't need this reward. Whatever you did, Allah gave him the same amount of reward. What did he get? The best place, even if you don't give him anything, you know? If we die, all of us die now, okay? Nobody's doing something which is increasing the reward of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is already been given the best position in Firdaus. The best place in Firdaus is given to the Prophet ﷺ. So what does that mean? Focus on following his sunnah, then focus on saying that, yeah, I do some activities and then I send the reward to. Yeah. And also, by the way, we really need to be very careful. Allah, we really need to be very careful. Even with the dead ones, you know. In most instances, apart from those activities which were done by the Prophet ﷺ to support them, like charity, going for hajj, if they do not do, if they promise to fast and they do not fast, you pay that fast for them. Apart from that, the most important thing they need is the dua. Stay away from all of these controversies, whether we read Quran for them or we do it, keep them aside. You need it, they're already there. Make dua for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept your dua and show mercy upon them, but you need this reward. So one of the scholars said, it's good when you go to hajj, I'm sorry, you want to make umrah for one of the dead ones, make umrah for yourself, but the dua in every single part of this umrah, make it for that person. You get the reward, and he also get all of the dua. Because you need, the journey is so long. I'm not saying we shouldn't do. You should do, but you shouldn't be busy doing it for others. You know, they deserve, especially the parent. But why can't you combine both for you and them? And whenever there is a controversy on a matter, whether it will reach a dead one or it will not reach it, the best is to stay away from all of these and go back to what everyone agrees. What is that? There are a few things the Prophet ﷺ did. It's quite interesting to know that the Prophet ﷺ lost his wives. How many he lost during his life? Two. Khadija and Zainab bintu Khuzaima, right? These ones, they died. All of these things that we're fighting for nowadays, did he do them? Never. He lost his daughters, all of them apart from Fatima. He lost his sons, all of them, during his lifetime. But he never did. Wallahi law kana khayran la sabaquna ilayh. Why do I need to fight? Why can't you just go and trace what he did and do the same thing? This one you are sure it will reach. But the other ones, we're not sure. You get an idea, and you have the controversy. Every book you read where this controversy exists, you will see people talking about that. Some scholars said yes, some scholars said no, this one is saying this one. Ya akhi, just relax. If I were in your position, I would just relax. I would ask one question. What was it done by Rasulullah? Did he do that? No, he did not. But which one he did? He did this. Just go and do that one, because this one you are sure that it will reach that person. So as I always say, pity those people in the graves. They have their own different life. And we have no access to that life except through the divine revelation. And I should go and have access to that divine revelation through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to see what exactly can benefit somebody in the grave and do it for him. Rather than doing things which you are not sure. You lost and he lost. Not again the reward. Because Rasulullah ﷺ said, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. So you are losing the thing if it doesn't reach you. So you lost it and he lost. You get the idea. So Islam is not bitamani, the ara, what I see to be correct. No, it's not like that. What Sharia sees to be correct. Whether I like it, I don't like it, but what Sharia sees to be correct. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجَرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are upon a great manner. خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Aisha radiallahu anha was asking that famous hadith, what was the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَقَالَتْ كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Apart from those manners and good attitude that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ وَقَافًا in the awamir Allah azza wa jal. Ibn Kathir says, apart from those attitude and big attitude he has, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never cross a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to do. So following the Quran, kana sajiyya lin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is part of his life. It's a moving, walking Quran when he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, that's how a Muslim should be acting. Trusting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow it precisely. So kana sajiyya lahu khuluqan watab khuluqan tatabba'ahu تَطَبَّعَهُ وَتَرَكَ طَبْعَهُ الْجِبِلِّ. The Prophet ﷺ takes the Quran to be his attitude and manners, and he left the natural attitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him upon. Follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So as I said, this is apart from the other attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As-sidq, saying the truth. You know. Al-haya, shyness. You know. Al-karam, generosity. They describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like al-adhara fi khidriha. In the past, the younger sisters, they come out very rarely. So, and they're very shy, very shy. I'm not saying nowadays they're not, but I'm just describing the past. You know. They used to hide, they used to... So they, when they described the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said he is... You want to tell you how much the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is shy? He said, like, no. Al-karam wa shaja'a. And at the same time, he's not weak. You might find a shy person is weak sometimes. Right? But not Rasulullah. So interesting, when they describe him, they said, kana aqwa nas. During the Battle of Ahzab, they tried to, you know, to break that rock. They couldn't. How many are they? 10. Right? 10 or 40, something like that. I mean, group of people. They couldn't break it. They tried their best, they couldn't. They called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came. He hit the thing thrice, and then it got destroyed. Defeated. Back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He shook somebody until he took him to the ground. Somebody told him, Ya Rasulullah, I want to fight. If you can show me a miracle, I will accept Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what do you want? He said, nobody ever wrestled me to the ground. If you can take me to the ground, I can assure you that I will accept you. He said, that's it? He said, that's it. This one? He said, this one. These are amongst the people that think, kullu bayda shahmatin. He says, I just want to go down, and then I will accept. The Prophet ﷺ took him down. He said he wasn't ready. Okay, get ready. You ready? He said, yes. Prophet ﷺ took him down. He said, one last time. He's still dreaming, you know, because the makhluk never took him to the ground. There are some people like that. Never lost, you know. So the Prophet ﷺ took him the third time and he accepted. Ibn Ibn Unais told the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, who can take care of Khalid ibn Nabih? He said, Rasulullah, I can do the job for you, but I don't know him. Rasulullah ﷺ said, keep going until you reach the Arafat, you will see him. He said, Rasulullah, I don't know him. How do I recognize him? He said, when you see him, yeah, you will be scared of him. You know, that's khawf will come to you. He says, Ya Rasulullah, makhluk never scare me in my life. Is there any sign? Not this. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah told him, who are that? And SubhanAllah, he said, the time I saw the man, I did not recognize him. He said, not just I feel the fear inside, the body is shivering. You know? He said, yeah, this is the guy. So Rasulullah asked Nas, one of the most interesting things they mentioned, they said, it's a hamyal watis. When you see nothing except blood is flying and the dust, you know. The companions, you know, everyone will be scared because you see death next to you. This is during the battles. They will be looking for Rasulullah. They said the best place to protect yourself is behind him. But then SubhanAllah, when they look for him, where is Rasulullah? They see him in the middle of the enemy. They run away from that place actually. They wanted to go and hide themselves behind him, but they will see him in the middle of the battlefield. That's why they said nobody follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except Ashja wal Nas. You need to be brave for you to be able to go in the places where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes. Remember that guy who came during one of the battles? He says, I just want Rasulullah and I want to kill him. The companion said, told him, Ya Rasulullah, relax, we do the job for you. He said, no, he wants me. Like reading Sirah, subhanAllah, Musalli. He said, no, he wants me. They said, no, Ya Rasulullah. Because the man was covered from head to toe. They said he has just a small hole in his eyes that he can see, you know. It's all metal. Even if you hit him, you're just wasting your time. And he said, he wants Muhammad. He said, he wants me, you know. Ya Rasulullah, please, let us do it. He said, no. He took the spear. قالوا فحزها حزة تطيرنا منها. They said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took it and he shook it. You know that sometimes when somebody and they do like this in front of you, you will see the air is going like this, right? He said when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved the thing, Hazratan tatayyarna mina, is like the wind that comes out of this shaking is going to cause of to fly, you know. So he said, SubhanAllah, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shoot and he targeted that small hole and it reaches the place. Ramya Nabawiya, right? Yeah, said that. And he got the man in that place and he scratched him. And the guy says, Qatalani Muhammad. His people told him, what are you talking about? He just scratched you like this. You know, he was so scared. He said, no, إذا تفعل علي محمد سأموت. He said, if he spit on me, I know I'm going to die. And SubhanAllah, he died. And he was the one somebody told him from the Ansar, I heard Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Inna qatiluk. That's why he never relaxed starting from that. Abu Jahl managed to convince him. He told him, no, you have to go. He said, no, one of them said, he heard Muhammad saying, Inna qatiluk, and Muhammad never lied. إذا أراد الله أمرا هيأ له أسبابه. They managed to convince him to death. And that's what happened. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashja'u nas. So don't you ever hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was soft and gentle. Iwallah, he was very lenient and he was very soft. Very lenient and very soft. And always forgiving. They said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man taqama abadan li nafsihi illa an tuntahaka. If you see him taking revenge or fighting, that means somebody is going against Allah. But if it is for him, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't like that. Anas ibn Malik said, I lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 sinin. Or 8 sinin in some narration. 8 or 10 years, he said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, he never told me, why did you do this? And why didn't you do this? Go to the home and see, you know, how the house are converted into fire. Iwallah. Every single thing the child does, the parent have comment on it. And that's why we lost trust. Those of you who are in the system, fix this, you know. Child should relax at home. Iwallah. It affects badly the brain capacity and the understanding. They should relax. You should just have a red line that it shouldn't cross this. But it shouldn't be a monster in the house. I know this word is going like this, you know. It doesn't go here. Go to the home and we practice the same thing again. But that's not the correct manhaj. They should have an absolute freedom. And I mean my word. Except when they go against the religion of Allah SWT, this should be the red lines. You will be sitting down at home. Believe me, my dear brothers, since your daughter will come, or your son will come, they will see a cup being here, just standing, maybe for 2-3 days like that. Then one of them will just come like this, push it. And they will look at you to see which comment you have. Testing Abby's patience. If you're in that country, they will never forget that moment in their life, you know. But honestly speaking, what is the best way to get rid of this? Just turn away. Just ask if you don't know what happened. You will hear a lot of comments, you know. From them, they relax. You will see their heart is beating because they don't know what kind of punishment will come. Just don't do. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, it will help you. Your kids will come and tell you what happened out of the house which you're not there. They will come and tell you, Abby, we did this and we know you don't like it. We are sorry. Yeah. The more you punish your child, the more he lies. So when you want them to say the truth, don't punish. That was the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, that is always a better way to train the kids to behave well. But unfortunately, we always want to impose our authority. You know, they have to know that there is authority in the house. They already know naturally you are the father, she is the mother. They know this. But sometimes, subhanAllah, they have to know that there is authority in the house. So while we are trying to impose, We lost that natural, you know, disposition that Allah SWT put in them, which He created them in the way they already know, this is my father, this is my mother. Because now we want the artificial one. So be like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As I said, they should have freedom, no punishment, you know. No punishment, no matter how much they go against, try avoid punishing them unless if it is really necessary. And close your eyes. They ask a Bedouin, Man al-Aqil? Mada ajab? Qala al-Fatinu al-Mutaghabi. Al-Fatin al-Mutaghafil. I like this word so much. Fatin al-Mutaghabi or al-Mutaghafil. Said the Aqil, the smart person, is Fatin. You know, the Aqil, somebody who has Aqil, is a smart person who overlooks a lot. Yeah. I'm just talking as a father, I know what people are doing, you know. We see, we heard, you know, some of these houses are hell to the wife, and the wife also with the children, subhanAllah, the mother is like hell to them, you know. When they have a guest, they like to go and stay with their guest, you know. They're always wishing that she doesn't come, you know. And it's very difficult to fix this. Very difficult to fix it. I'm not saying we should be like negligent, no. We shouldn't be negligent. But manhaj of the Prophet Rasulullah wasn't negligent. He taught those kids. That's why they became who they are. With that kind of leniency. So that Bedouin says, Al-Fatin al-Mutaghafil, the one who overlooks. You come home, you're going to see a lot of things being done. And people will keep on complaining to you. This one, yeah, this one did this, this and that. As a father, you shouldn't side with anyone. Smile and look for solution and compensations and make everyone happy. Yeah, so many people cannot do this, but this is the best. Overlook. You came to the house, you found this is destroyed, that one is destroyed, this one is destroyed, you know. Don't make that much comment, just relate it to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell them, please don't do it again. I'm just saying, based on my experience, this is what I have learned. That leniency brings good to the family and help you to raise a better child who is smart, not dumb. Our kids are very dumb. Sorry to say this. Because they do things based on our dictation. Right after they go out of the house, they became others. At home, they're very disciplined. But out of the house, they're others. You know, when you die, what happens? The true picture of those ones will exist. And sometimes if you don't give them the correct tarbiyah, you are in the grave, your account will remain open. So, honestly speaking, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Anas saying that the Prophet ﷺ never blamed, we really need it. I don't say don't blame at all, but do it like Rasulullah ﷺ. Out of 100 mistakes that your child is going to do, focus on one. I know it's very difficult, but focus on one. The rest, just forget. You know. At home, when they throw something, you know, I will be reminding them, because I know by experience, you have a child with a cup of water next to him, they like to drink it in an hour. Seriously, and when are they going to, what is going to happen? 99% they're going to spill it. When they spill it, you have reminded them how many times? Many times. What does that mean? Yeah, but you shouldn't do that. Yeah. My new manhaj is, I go with them. I don't pay attention. I don't talk. I don't do anything. I just go with them to clean it. Actually, I will command others to come and clean. So I don't want to talk about the result and what I get from that. But that's exactly what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got. You get idea, that close relationship, and your children will trust you, and they love you so much, and they listen. And your word will have strong value to them. And others who are punishing all the time, the kids, you will see them when they talk, they smile. You know what kind of smile is that? Anyway, so please, parent, take this hadith seriously. It's very important. Your kids at home should have freedom, you know, you shouldn't punish them unless if it is necessary. And this necessity, inshallah, will come after maybe once after 10 years. One of the most successful parents, he said some of his children, he never even showed them angry face. And people are telling him why. And sometimes they kiss even his food when they're looking for his forgiveness. When they did something wrong, they come to him to ask him to forgive to that way. And I've seen with my own eyes issues like this. You can understand the kind of relationship the father and the mother is having with the children. I saw a person, I will not tell you who, the son did something and he cried so much for almost 1 hour. And why was that? It was the result of a good relationship because he doesn't want to destroy that relationship. And that father, to my knowledge, never smacked the child, not even once. In the way some people are asking, what exactly is going on in the house? And he told them what happened. So following the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only solution we have, especially in this time of ours. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, if there is any time that we need to follow the manhaj of Rasulullah in giving tarbiyah to our kids, whereby we make them the best friend of ours, is this time. That you have a lot of distraction and entertainment. And out of the house is stronger than us. You know, you see the school? You have combination of everyone. This is the place where the kids are learning shidduth. They come to your house, you know, they keep quiet. You see the muhsinun, salihun, muttaqun, you know. But in the school, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on. Because you in the house, you are trying to take care of how many kids? 2, 3, or sometimes one, and you're suffering and people are complaining, right? That's why they tell you don't have children, because you don't give them tarbiyah properly. May Allah guide them. You should have children. This is what Sharia says. But the mistake we are making is, you know, the first child comes, the mother sleeps. The father sleeps and the mother sleeps. They don't give him a proper tarbiyah, right? And they're still a human being. They want the next one to come. The next one comes, the first one is not graduated yet. So now they added two, you know, two of them. And the third one will come, now three. And none of them was given a proper tarbiyah by the mother and the father, because they are still sleeping. But believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, if the mother is smart, when the first child comes, she becomes very serious with him, and she takes care of him. When I say very serious, not to become a monster, I mean serious in giving him tarbiyah and bringing him closer to her and educating him in a nice way. Believe me, when the second one comes, her job is going to be very low. And by the time she has three kids, they are going to support her in giving tarbiyah to the child number four. She will reach a time, believe it or not, whereby she sleeps and the house is educating the younger ones. Most of the job will be done by her. So she can have 10, 15, or whatever she has, and those Western criminals will not come and tell her about family planning, right? Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. This is a very important and big topic, but please, my dear brothers and sisters, those of you who are having children, please adopt this manhaj of making your children the best friends. Not to let them do everything, whether it's right or wrong. No, they should know that Islam shouldn't be violated in your house. You should show your angry face when Islam is being touched, but at the same time, open a room of discussion. Because what is going on? My child takes from me that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and this is what Allah hates. And they stay away from it, not because Allah doesn't like it, but because Abi don't like it. And this is very dangerous. Yeah, you should train them in the way they will be stopping the thing because Allah hates it. That's why when you shout, you must make sure that, yes, there is no any other way except shouting. And keep your child next to you and your daughter next to you. Talk to him like your friend. Don't you think he's good to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you think this is not good? Look at this, look at that. You know, I just want you to succeed. You know, who should you fear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or me? He will say, Allah, if you do something because of me, you are committing shirk and you lost the reward. Talk to him in a nice way, you know, respect and talk to him in a nice way. And at the same time, don't get angry. Give him something, give some gifts to him. You know, slowly, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be placed in the heart, and they will be stopping things because Allah hated, not because the parent hated. So be the friend of your children. I already know. Be the friend of your children. Don't you ever take them away Otherwise, friends will take them. The environment is going to take them. The school is going to take them. And they trust them more than the way they trust a house, because you have nothing in your house except fighting and rejection of their need. When you go to the shop, what do we usually do? Your daughter or your child raised something they want to buy. You tell them what? No. They touch another one? No. They touch another one? No. Everything they touch? No. You become the no guy, right? And then at the end of the day, they will not ask. They will keep quiet. Seriously, you see them keeping quiet. If somebody asks them, why don't you want something? They'll say, yeah, because we know the answer is no. Why are you saying no? Because if you open the platform for your daughters and your sons, what happens? The bank is going to be empty. So you're trying to save money. Do they understand this concept? No. Somebody told his child, you have to know that money has value. He said, yes, you know that because your father was poor. But me, my father is rich. Why do you want me to suffer? Was he saying the truth? Yes. Because those one, when the father was there, his father, the grandfather was very poor. They had no food to eat, so he knows how valuable is the money. But you, from day one, they have been getting everything they want. And you want him to understand the value of the money in your own way, there is always a better way to let him understand the value of money, but not in the way we are doing. So, honestly speaking, what is the best way when I go to the shop with my kids? What is the best way to make it? No. Even restricted, no. But I agree with Khalid. Restrict them, but in another way. In a very smart way. My dear daughter, you have a budget of 100 ringgit. This is your 100 ringgit. And close your eyes, let her go around. Smile. I see this. I found it so interesting and it's very funny. I mean, even the little one, I have a little daughter, I will not mention her name. Wallahi, sometimes she goes to the shop. So funny, she takes this. The mother asked her one day, why not? She said, it looks so expensive. When they are taken from the bank of the father, I just come and see the basket is full, you know. But now, since they have their own money, everyone is managing because they don't want to cross that one. That's the smartest way, but not many, many people understand this. When you give it to them, if they finish it, they will not blame anyone. Rather than everything they show you, you tell them no. So Anas ibn Malik said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told me no whenever I did something. He never told me, why did you do it or why didn't you do it? What kind of tarbiyah is this? That's why they speak the truth. They don't get scared of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he asked them for something, tell him what happened exactly. Do this with your children. Believe me, they will be truthful. And they will be honest all the time. So he says also, if somebody from the house tell me, as usual, of course their mothers will not accept that the child is throwing this and that, you know. She needs to have a lot of patience. When they blame, if they are not blessed, with the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there and they blame, he would tell them, no, why you blame him? SubhanAllah, imagine your child listening to this. He would tell you, yes sir, thank you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell them, why do you blame him? Ma quddira yakun. Whatever Allah SWT decreed will happen. But don't forget, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the whole concept, right? Otherwise, tomorrow, they will smack things and tell you, ma quddira yakun. But the Prophet also teach them the aqidah correctly. They will not do it intentionally. But when it happens, you know, unintentional, the Prophet also used to tell the sisters at home, don't blame him, because whatever Allah SWT decreed will happen. Is that clear? Ma quddira yakun. And I said, I have never touched something harir. You know, silk, the pure one, is very soft, you know. He said, I have never touched harir that is softer than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And he died, they couldn't understand. They said, أَنْكَرْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا. Imagine, a person doesn't recognize himself. You know, sometimes you don't know what exactly is going wrong with you, you know. They said, أَنْكَرْنَا وَجُهَنَا أَنْكَرْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا. They couldn't understand. Kids, the sisters, and everyone. they know that the man is dead, you know, subhanAllah. From every dimension, you will never see somebody like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, the companion shouted at him, he even tell them in the prayer, what's wrong with you? Wa thukla ummiyah, you know. In the prayer he talks. But when he meets the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be very harsh. If this is the reaction of the companions, what would be the lead, what would be the reaction of the leader, you know? But subhanAllah, the way he went, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled to him and he kept asking him to cool down, relax. He told him, this is the prayer, he cannot talk, he just recite Quran and all. So he was so happy with the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching him. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَطُّ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ. He said, I have never seen a teacher like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا كَعَرَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي. He kept on mentioning it. And what happens after that? He was, relaxing. He relaxed so much. In a way, he started sharing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is going on in his own community. Why do we detach ourselves from sharing our issues and affairs with the scholars? Because we don't get any room to come closer to them. Sometimes even the salam, when you say to some of them, they don't reply because they are busy. Who is that person who is busier than Rasulullah? Nobody. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never passed a person without saying salam to them. When they say salam to him, he replied, not only that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit with children and say salam to them and make jokes with them. Nowadays, we have no time for this. We're very busy. I don't know, how is it possible that a person doesn't have time to reply salam? So that was Rasulullah. What to say about the attitude and the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a lot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He says, you are upon the best of the manners. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ خُلُقُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. So inshallah, in the next class, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, next session, we will be dealing with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَتُبْصِرُ وَيُبْصِرُونَ. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I gave you discount last time and I took back my discount. La li wa la lak.
The first question is by Huda. Assalamu alaikum,
Shaykh.
The loss of trust we mentioned that is taking place between the parents and the children. What are some steps we can take to rebuild that trust and the communication now that the children have become adults?
As a father and a mother, let me hide who talks too much to the children. As a father and a mother, reduce the amount of your complaint and blame. I know it's very difficult. You know, intentionally I talk about the children's nature, right? You know, it's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I know that there is something wrong with my child when I don't see him jumping in the house. Yeah, because especially at the early age, they don't talk and tell you their problems. How do I know he has problem? When I see him shouting in the house, jumping, you know, jumping on things, jumping on you, you know, that means things are nice with him. And he's healthy. So reduce the blame in the house. Yeah, reduce the blame. Don't you ever blame your child unless if he did something which you can't keep quiet. And even that one, I know it's very difficult for some of the parents, you know, sisters and brothers to adopt this, but even that one, don't talk too much. Ask the parents who are giving tarbiyah to their kids. Sometimes when she or he is blaming a child, they will be repeating the same thing. I told you, last time don't do this, you know. Last time when you were doing this and I told you don't do it. And you also do it that time when I tell you don't do it. And I don't know why did you do it after I tell you don't do it. You know, they will keep on repeating the same thing in different words, you know, for many times. Yeah. So when you happen to talk, first don't talk too much. But when you happen to talk, just a few words. This is wrong. I hope you take lesson. Yes, I'm very sorry. Apology accepted. Come, hug him. I know with some parents this is like putting fire on him. He destroyed my things and I hug him. What is this? They will let their hand hug him, right? in the wrong way. But this is the best way for somebody who is looking at best, you know, way to bring the kids closer to them. You know. Don't complain that much. Don't blame, you know, that much. Always show them respect. You know. And when they talk to you, sometimes they're talking useless and rubbish. And you know, this is very rubbish. Go. Wallahi, at home, the youngest one will tell me, come. I leave what I'm doing and I will go. What are they going to show me? They have their toys, cake, toy cake, yeah, something, the food which are all toys. We prepared food for you. Can you eat? Say, yeah, why not? To them, it's food. To you, what is that? You know, I don't want to mention that. They will say, Abi is lying, but but show respect to it. That's what they will respect, your word. This is what they believe in. They will go and do some experiment, they will come and tell you. You see, you look at it, you know, SubhanAllah, what is this? But to them, it's everything. And this is the achievement. Tell them that that's so great. You know, sometimes I use my phone, I tell them, oh, we have to take a picture of this because it should be kept as a good thing, you know. Can we do it? Yeah, why not? Capture the thing, you know. Show them respect. Don't blame. And whenever they do something, they invite you, you go. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. They said a sister will come, you know, although she has some problem, you know, and would catch the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take him to wherever they want. Children would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pray with him and play with him. And he is praying at that moment. And he will never get annoyed. He will let them finish first. Until they're satisfied, they go. Billahi alayka, tell me which house is like this. What you hear in the houses mostly is don't, you know. So you become a monster in your house. Whenever you come to the house, somebody told his parents, why whenever you come we get annoyed. Everyone has to sit down and relax, you know, nobody's doing anything, you know. Is that a good question? Very good question, you know. Very good question, Khalid, I'm very sorry. Very good question, you know. You shouldn't do like that. Wallahi, seriously, you shouldn't do like that. You should be a person whose life doesn't change when he comes back home. Yeah, that's a good parent. When you are around, life doesn't change. When you are around, your child doesn't be extraordinary, you know, careful. They act as children. You just monitor them. Where there is a need to correct, just correct. Yeah. Show them what to do and show them what not to do. And just watch. Then you see the aql will be developed. Otherwise they will be dumb. As I said, you have to tell them what to do. Every single thing you have to tell them what to do. In the hadith of Umm Zara, she said, Zawji, in dakhala. Yeah, okay, alhamdulillah, you remember that. This hadith of Umm Zara, you should memorize that hadith. Although it's long, but it's so funny, you know. She said, Zawji, in dakhala fahid. Wa in kharaj asid. وَلَا يَسْأَلُ عَمَّ عَهِدْ She said, my husband, when he gets inside the house, he's like Fahad. What is Fahad? The cheetah. He said, it sleeps so much. That means it closes an eye and overlooks a lot. So, because she knows, especially in the past, people would think, this is so weak. What kind of person is this? Is that even a man, you know? But she quickly fixed it. She said, this is his life with his family. Very soft and gentle and alif. وَإِنْ خَارَجَ أَسِدْ But if he goes out, he's like Asad, like lion. Don't you ever think that he's coward, you know? وَلَا يَسَلْ عَمَّا أَحِدْ He don't come back and tell his wife, how come this thing, you know, is moved? I remember that I put something here, but now it is not here. How come? Who moved it? Who take this? Who take that? He doesn't do that. Some parents are expert. Before they reach the house, they you know, they press the horn so that everyone will know that the monster, the jinn is coming. Yeah. They move their shoes, they knock on the door in the harsh way. How come nobody comes and opens and he has the key, you know? So don't do that. Be alif. This is the manhaj of Rasulullah. So I guess the question of Huda is being answered indirectly. So be the friend of your children. You can always fix it, you know. He used to be a monster, but just fix it. Just fix it. How to fix it? Just bring them closer to you and reduce your commands in the house and reduce your blames in the house. Yeah, bring them closer to you. Talk to them. Smile to them. Let them share their stories, you know. And respect, you know, respect. Believe me, you will enjoy life with your kids. Allah grant is good. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I mean,
just wanted to ask something, Sheikh. In this class, we mentioned about drinking water at the end. So, is that a sunnah that we should do?
Yeah, Ibn Qayyim said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate food and drank water after that. They talk about the health benefit in that, that you should wait a bit when you don't drink water with the food itself, or before, after eating, you wait a bit first and then drink the water. But he says not everyone can tolerate this, and that's true. Not everyone can tolerate this. So you drink with the food, or you wait a bit and then drink the water, if a person can do that. But if not, go with your system, the way your body can tolerate. Yeah. Allah grant us good. At least there is water to drink.
One last question.
Salaam alaikum, Sheikh. So the question is, when a mother gives her daughter gold for her wedding, after divorce, if she returns home, who pays the zakat on that gold?
The owner of the gold. This gold is for the daughter, right?
Yeah. She came back after divorce.
Huh?
She came back home after divorce.
Allah protect. Meaning the daughter now is at home. Why? Because of the divorce, right? The gold is her gold. Her gold. Whether she is with the husband, she's not with the husband, it remains hers. If the mother wants to own the gold, she has to tell her first, I want the gold. And the daughter should give her.
Is there a limited amount? How much should it be?
Yeah, the zakah of gold is 85 grams of gold, the pure gold. The pure gold. That is the way they do the calculation. Yeah, to understand how much gold you have, you know, using this carat system, right? Yeah. The last one I got is a Pakistani way of counting. I never heard tolon. Tolon. I forgot I'm with the expert here. Yeah. So tola, right? Yeah. So, I had to call Salman to tell me how to do this. So that there is a way to tell you the pure gold, how much is that? So the focus is on the gold itself. If you have gold that reaches 85 grams, then zakah is wajib upon you, which is 2.5%. Yeah.
And my sister, if she's not working at the moment?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a very good question, because many people think if I don't work, I have my saving, but I don't have any source of income. Do I still pay the zakah?
Yes.
You have to pay. As long as that money remains for 1 year and it reached the prescribed amount, you have to keep paying the zakah until it reaches the time where zakah cannot be paid, meaning it goes below the prescribed amount. Yeah, that's why you should always invest, so that zakah will not eat the whole thing. But not having a source of income doesn't affect zakah. You know, a person has to pay. The same goes to a person who owes others money, but he did not pay. And then when the zakah comes, he said, no, I have to pay some debt. It doesn't work. He has to pay the zakah. A loan doesn't cancel zakah. No. If I want to pay and I'm serious, I should pay before the time of the zakah. But we don't do. But usually you see people saying, but I have loan on my shoulder. I have to settle that one first. No, you have to pay the zakah for the whole amount and then deal with the loan. Yeah, after that. Yeah. You cannot take out the loan first and then pay the zakah for the balance. It doesn't work. You have to pay the zakah on the money as a whole. Then whatever remains you go and pay the loan. And they don't do actually. They will keep on delaying. When the zakah comes, they will say, we have a loan. If that's clear, inshallah. That's it. No more questions? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.